Today's Mishnah in Masechet Nega'im is Perek Dalet, and we're already holding at Mishnah Dalet. So, we've gone through the contrasts. It's actually, what I wanted to do was to go over the various inyanim before we go ahead, just to make sure that we have a summary of the various issues that we spoke about before, of the differences. So this summary is made by the Gra. The Gra points out that basically what we've done is we've gone through 18 different levels of distinctions between the Pisayon, Seir Lavan, and Michyas Basar Chai. And these 18 distinctions are in 6 different areas. So just to make it clear, I won't go through every single one, but one of the areas, which is the first one that we always talk about, is presentation. There are differences in what's called in the Mishnah Batchila, when the Nega is first presented. Is it going to be mitameh with this particular simen? As we know, Pisayon never works Batchila, neither does Adam Dam Yirak Rak themselves. So that's area number one. Area number two is the differences between them in exactly how they are colored. Do they need to be one of the Arba Mares, or can they be any color? Those are also tremendous differences. The Pisayon does have to be one of the Maros. The third way is they are different in terms of whether a particular simen tuma can stop a simen of tyra, namely the case of if something is poreach bekulai. So let's say the michya that will prevent the simen tyra of poreach bekulai lavan, and he'll still be tame. The fourth area would be in the size. What's the shear? So the idea of the michyas basar chai. The Michyas Basar Chai has to be Bekadasha. The Shtei Sarot have to be Shtayim. The Pisayon can be any. So that's yet another idea. What would be the Shiur? The fifth area would be the depending on what Nega they're in. Obviously, some are more general, more universal, such as the Pisayon, which is Matami everything. Some are very limited, like Seyar Tzahov Dak. So the difference would be in the type of nega. And the other difference, the sixth quality that we distinguish, is whether they need to be inside the nega, that is to say the place. Can they be at the side of the nega? Must they be somehow inside the nega? Or can they even be outside of the nega like a pisayon? So when you realize that we've got 6 different issues that need to be discussed, and we talk about the differences between the 3 simanim, we end up discussing 18 different dinim in this way. So it's a very nice way to remember the way that the Mishnah is constructed. So I thought it was kedai for us to go over that. Okay, so now let's continue in today's Mishnah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Once we started talking about the Simanei Tuma, so our first Simen Tuma is the Shtei Sa'arot. The din of the Shtei Sa'arot is that they were supposed to be hofchot lavan, and we said that there was a shear. And the shear is to be able to cut them with a scissor. So now, what if the shtei sa'arot are black at their roots, where they come out of the skin, but on top, the roshan is white? That is not called hafach lavan, because it's the seyar banega hafach lavan. So it has to be the part that is down at the bottom next to the nega that turned color. So if it's the other way around, the bottom of the sar is white and the top is still dark, that would be tameh, because we look at the seyar shebenega hafach lavan. The question is whether the shiur of a seyar lavan applies as to the hair as a whole, or to the white part of the hair. So if it applies to the white part of the hair, it means that even if it turned white on the bottom, and it's a long hair, If the area that turned white is not itself long enough to be cut by a scissor, so then it wouldn't be tame. That's a machlokas. Kami yehei belav nunit. Rabbi Meir says, any size, as long as the hair itself is the correct length. The amount of white on it could be any amount of white, as long as it's at the bottom. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. The part that's white has to be long enough, kedei likrotz bezog, it has to be big enough to be cut with a scissor, because that shear was set on the sar lavan, not on the sar as a whole. Suppose you have a hair that's split on top. So as it emerges from the follicle, it's one hair, and then on top it splits into two hairs. So milamali near eight kishtayim, obviously that's not really two hairs, it just looks like two hairs, that is tahor. Because you need shtei sarot that were hofchot in their follicle as lavan, and so on. So remember that the shear of a nega, and this is what I think Reb Barnea was raising yesterday, the shear of a nega that is tameh is a very large kind of gris shel pol. That gris shel pol is six sarot by six sarot. It's an area that covers 36 normal space to be grown hair in. Now, the question is, does the part of the nega that is covered by the simen tuma, is that included in the shear of the nega? Or does the shear of the nega have to be a shear of a nega minus the area where the sar is? And besides that, there needs to be shear of a nega. So, baheret, ubo sear lavan, o sear shachor. Suppose you have exactly a shear of a baheret. So this baheret is the size of a gris and not a tiniest bit more. Ein choshishin shema miyet mekom se'ar shachoret ha-baheret. There is no problem over here. We don't have to worry that maybe, okay, maybe you're ready to agree that the baheret includes the se'ar lavan because the se'ar lavan is part of the baheret. But suppose there's se'ar shachor, which is not a simen of tumor. Maybe it's too small. Because of the little bit of the size of the sear, because we do not consider the actual follicle to have mamashut. In other words, it's not considered to be something that takes away anything of the size of the kigris of the shear of the nega at all. Next, Halakha Mishnah. Perek Dalet Mishnah He. Now, suppose the Baharet has a little piece sticking out of it that extends outside of the baharet. Now remember that we were talking about 6 by 6 sa'arot. We have our basic, what's called the om, you will recall. The basic om of the baharet is indeed 6 by 6. And now it's got like a strip of baharet that goes out. Now the question is, does that strip have to be the same shear as the baharet to include within it if the hairs of that changed colors, let's say they appeared in that extension of the baharet, are they considered to be part of the baharet even though that extension isn't as wide as the baharet per se, or not? So the halacha is like this. The baharet itself is the size of a gris, correct size. And now we have a chut, we have like a little thread of more baharet sticking out. So now it depends. Im yesh bo rochav shtei sa'arot, zo kekal le'se'ar lavan ulepisyon. So if you would have, now this doesn't mean shtei sa'arot put up one against the other. It means if it has the shtei sa'arot that would be normally placed on the skin on the same 6 by 6 size that the gris has, so that means that basically what this is the size of is an adasha. Because an adasha has shtei sa'arot. So if that's the case, if it has enough to be the shear of the ka'adasha, so then if the nega spreads beyond this piece and not beyond any other part, just beyond this thread that's sticking out, it will become tameh. And if the two hairs that are there turn white, it will become tameh. But there is no way for it to become tameh with a michya of basar chai. Why? Because the michya itself needs to be the minimum shear of a ka'adasha. And therefore, if this itself is only the shear of a ka'adasha, then if the Michya appears in it, the Michya will not be surrounded by Baheret. And remember that the halacha is that the Michya has to be surrounded by Baheret. It's not like the din of the Sa'ar Lavan, where it just needs to be in the Baheret. So in that case, there would be no way, because by definition, if the Michya is the correct shear to make it Tameh, then it's not a correct Michya, because it isn't surrounded by Baheret, since the entire thread extension of the Baheret is only the same minimum shear of the Michya. So because of that, Avalo b'michya. Now let's talk about two Baherot. Each one of them is the correct size. And between them, they are connected with this little thread of Baheret that is the same color. So we have a chut that is yotzei mizu lezu. So there's a little bit that the connection is. And then again, im yesh bo rochav shtei sa'arot. So if there is enough for two sa'arot of normal growth, these two separate baharot are actually considered to be one nega. And therefore, let's say we have a simen tuma, one hair here and one hair there. That's enough to be metameim. But if not, it's not wide enough to be the size of the kadasha, then it cannot be mitzarif then. So because of that, let's say we would have a tuma half in one and half in the other, would not be tame. If we would have a tuma, let's say of a michya in one of them, the other one wouldn't be tame, and therefore it would need its own separate hezker and would need to be dealt with separately, and you wouldn't be able to be mitayer just because one of them was mituhar. So that is the other need for us to define the shear of the shtei sa'arot. Now, let's talk about a case where we had actually not only one simon of tuma, we had two simone tuma. And one of these simone tuma disappears. Now the question is, there may be some fascinating interrelationships between the simone tuma. Because imagine for yourself a situation in which you have a michya of basar chai inside of a baheret. And inside that michya is Seyar that was afach lavan. So now that's the question. Is the michya part of the nega so that the Seyar lavan was considered to be afach lavan? Or if the michya then disappears, the Seyar lavan is not considered to be impactful on the underlying om, because it wasn't the underlying om that changed it. And even though now it's in the underlying om, remember it has to be the nega ba nega hafach lavan, seyar ba nega hafach lavan. So is the seyar in the michya considered to be the seyar that was hafach lavan al yedei hanega? Fascinating questions. Okay, so as you can see, the Mishnayos are really building us up to a more and more detailed and sophisticated understanding, not only of just the dinim of the various simanim, but now we're going into the prote dinim. So let's imagine a case where we have a baheret, which is our normal shear, and it's the size of a gris. That gris is much larger than the ka'adasha, which is the minimum shear of the michya. It's actually 9 times as big. So it has inside of it a michya, the shear of a kadasha, the correct shear. But there is se'ar lavan inside of the michya. Then the michya disappears. Halcha ha-michya. And it leaves the se'ar lavan inside of the om. The din over there is that even though the michya disappeared, now it's considered to still be tameh because of the se'ar lavan. So even though the se'ar lavan was inside of a michya, which is normal skin, since that michya was itself part of the simanim tuma of the underlying baheret, the se'ar lavan is considered to be se'ar lavan, and it will still be mitame. Fine. Now, it's going to be tame mipnei ha'se'ar lavan. If halach se'ar lavan, and the michya remains, so then, of course, it will be tame mipnei hamichya. That's for sure. Rabbi Shimon says, not the first part you said I disagree with. I say that if the Seyar Lavan was inside of a michya basar chai, and then the michya's basar chai became part of the nega, and it disappeared, and now it's baheret, you don't view the Seyar Lavan as being a simen tuma. And at that point, you can be metaher the nega because it no longer has the simen of the michya. Why? Because lo hafachato habaheret. It did not turn into white hair because of a nega. It turned into white hair because of the michya of the nega. And the Torah never said that that's considered to be Seyar Lavan. It has to be Seyar b'nega hafach Lavan. And in this case, we don't view the nega as being the basis of the din of the Seyar Lavan. Masha Enkein, the Tanakamahot, since the michya is considered to be part of the nega and it's good for the thing which is metame the nega, so it's considered to be the makor of the changing of the color. So here we have a case where even though we do have Seyar Lavan inside of a Baheret, and it was Seyar Lavan that appeared only after the Baheret appeared, we have this unusual case which, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not considered to be a simen tuma, because even though it appeared after the baheret appeared, it's not considered to be muhupach al yedei baheret. Instead, it's considered to be muhupach al yedei the michya. Now, let's talk about a case where we start with Seyar Lavan, and we have baheret, where baheret together with the michya, so baheret hi umichyata, have the shear of Kegris, and the Seyar Lavan is inside of the Baheret, not inside of the Michya. So it's inside of the Baheret itself area. So we don't have that problem of the Seyar Lavan growing inside of the Michya. Over here, it grew inside of the Baheret. So then, okay, the Chora, everything then would be very straightforward. Now note that the case that we had before was talking about, where the nega was a gris on its own, without the michya, A, B, where the Seyar Lavan grew in the michya. Fine. In this case, we have that we need the michya to be part of the shear of the baheret. That's one difference. And the other difference is that the Seyar Lavan grew in the Baheret part and not in the Michya part. So here we have an interesting question of a completely different sort. Even though I understand that the Michya part is certainly considered to be part of the Nega in terms of being mitzuraf to the shear of the Gris, because only together with the Michya do we have the shear of the Gris in the Baheret, and Michyat Basar Chai is not memayit from that shear, it's part of that shear. The question is whether, since I need the michya in order to have the shear of the baheret, is it also considered to be that the Seyar Lavan, that turned Lavan in the area of the baheret, is actually changed by the baheret? Or since this baheret is only a baheret due to the fact that there's a michya in it, it's the equivalent of having been changed by the michya plus baheret? So this is an extension of the issue that we raised before. So again, the Tanakhama obviously says, look, if the Michyat goes away, it's still going to be Tame because of the Seyar Lavan, like it was in the last Mishnah, in the first case. If the Seyar Lavan went away and the Michya remains, of course, it's still going to be Tame because of the Michya. But over here, unbelievably, Rabbi Shimon extends his idea, and he's metayer in the first case, where the Michya went away and left us with Seyar Lavan in the same Baheret which they were in before. And he says, look, this Seyar Lavan is not a good Simen Tuma. Why? Because we did not have a Baheret that was the shear of a Kegris changing it. We had a Baheret that was less than a shear of a Kegris changing it. So you shout at me, what do you mean? It was a Baheret the size of a Gris, because together with the Michya's Basar Chai was the shear of a Kegris. That, says Rabbi Shimon, that's no good, because over there you needed the michya in order to be mahapech the se'ar lavan. And the Torah says it's the basar, it's the se'ar in the nega that was hafach lavan, meaning a nega that could be its own shear. So even though Rabbi Shimon is meida that the baharet originally was tameh, and we're mitzarif the area of the michya into the area of the kegris that is necessary to be metami the baharet, but that's only vis-a-vis the shear of the baharet atzma with the michya. But to say that that would be a baharet that could be metame by changing over the se'ar shachor into se'ar lavan, that's no good. Of course, Rabbi Shimon would be meida that if the se'ar lavan was in an area where without the michya it originally had a kegris, she'im yesh bimkoma se'ar lavan kegris without the michya's basuchai. Of course, in that case, he certainly made a that se'ar lavan that was mu'pach lavan by a baharet is not considered not to be se'ar lavan just because there's a michya's basuchai. His only taina was that you cannot utilize the shear of the michya to create the kegris to be mahapech for se'ar lavan. But in this case, if there was a kegris without the michya, of course it would be tomei based only on the se'ar lavan that remains after the michya disappeared. Okay, fantastic. Really a lot of fun. Turns out Nagoya was much more fun than you thought, right? Aha! It was all of this esoteric stuff. Hey, Rabbi Akiva, you know, you go to Negoyim and Oyalais. Baruch Hashem, we went to Negoyim and Oyalais, and we're starting to be Motze Yadenu V'Raglinu, which is very happy. All right, everybody, we should only have a day of Besurot Tovot. Hoshiat Amecha Ovarechet Nachalatech Horeim V'Naseim Ado Olam. We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.